My answer is, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are doing a COVID-19 update. We're talking about what we're doing in quarantine, giving ideas that maybe you can try, and just getting through it.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Tim Wick.
Hello.
And today we're going to talk about kind of what's always on everyone's mind right now, but mostly it's about being quarantined or isolated and what to do while you are stuck at home. Most of us are under some sort of stay-at-home order or if nothing else, a social distancing. Lots of businesses and shops are closed, most bars and restaurants, and lots of the activities that we're all used to doing have been canceled. So what have we just figured we would kind of let you guys know what we've been doing to stay busy, to stay engaged, to try to take our minds off everything. So this is going to range from fun, dumb, mindless things to maybe more introspective and, posterior things. We'll see. So, Nick, why don't you start us off? What's something that you've been doing? We've been stuck at home now. This is week seven.
Yep.
For us here in Minnesota. So what have you been doing for the last 7 weeks?
One of the things I've been – so for my work from home setup, I have – a couple monitors at my desk and laptop and a dock and all that. So one of my monitors, I also have hooked up to a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And
I mean, why
this
not?
This was originally because I'd be on call and I'd be working on the weekends a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'd have like an hour to kill between pages where it wasn't worth going to bed. So I might as well play Spider-Man or, Horizon mm-hmm. Zero Dawn. So, I've been playing I just beat the Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I'm looking forward to maybe giving it a shot on hard next, because there's a whole bunch more of the game on hard.
Cool.
But, it's kind of nostalgic because I have a really strong emotional attachment to the original VII, mm-hmm. and, it's a very different game in a very familiar setting.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. But you like it?
Yeah. It took a lot of getting used to, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't really have the attention span for JRPGs anymore.
Hmm.
So this is kind of updated in a way that is a little easier to play if you have a shorter attention span.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. All right, Tim. What about you? What's something that you've been doing?
Well, one thing we've been doing is over the last, I think it's probably about 5 years, we've acquired a whole shit ton of movies, and they're just kind of in a we have a big old case that we keep our movies in, but shit happens and we never actually got them put away. So I'm like, we have this stack of about, I don't know, 60 movies that we've
oh, wow.
bought but haven't watched. So we're doing like this movie off the pile project where give or take every night, somebody in the family picks a movie from that pile. And the goal is to try and get through the whole thing.
Nice.
So there's like, I don't know, at least half of the Marvel movies are in there. All three of the new Star Wars trilogy.
What about that Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen movie we got you? Is that in there?
Yeah.
I think that's in there somewhere. I think that's in there somewhere. The family has stated that I'll be watching that alone.
They know what you're into.
Yes, indeed.
It's pretty cool of your family.
Yeah, pretty cool. And I mean, it's kind of expanded where it's like, oh, I'm not really in a mood for any of these movies in the pile tonight. So then we ended up going, grabbing a movie from somewhere else. But it's family time with Pat and with both of the boys. Some nights Alex has way too much homework because he's still doing college. Mm-hmm. And he's got hours of homework every day. And it's a little harder because, especially since he's doing a lot of math, mm-hmm. he doesn't have as much face time with his instructor if there's something that, and this yeah. is advanced shit where it's like, sometimes you need to kind of go through the concept with your instructor. So it takes him longer to work through it. But the nights that he can, he's downstairs and it's been nice to have that kind of family time, watching all these movies that we got. Cause theoretically we wanted to watch them. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's awesome.
That's kind of cool.
For my part, the main thing, and I've been doing this, I started this in January, but it actually turned out to be really lucky because it was, you know, mid to late February when we started social distancing and not really going out as much. And then the lockdown came. So I subscribed to Kindle Unlimited. Mm-hmm. And if you have Amazon Prime, or even if you don't, they're often Kindle Unlimited is offering, they'll offer like 3 months for $1 or 2 months free or, you know, things like that. So I was offered in January, 3 months for 99 cents. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. I mean, that's great. And Kindle Unlimited is, they have all these books that are just, in the Kindle Unlimited library. And that means that if you have a Kindle Unlimited membership, those books are free. But you don't own them. You basically you're borrowing them. So you rent the book and you read it and then you return it. And then you can get up to 10 at a time you can have on your account. And so I've been reading through lots of middling to terrible horror, like lots of like Nick will laugh because I'll start a new book. I'll be like, oh, this is actually kind of cool. This is pretty good.
I think this girl is a demon or something.
Yeah, this is pretty good. They'll be like, oh yeah, I think this girl's a demon. And then I'll be like, oh Christ, it was so much worse. Like it was like four ghosts. And then like the ghosts
in
like
a trench coat.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Pretending
or like this one book that was, I will call it out by name because it was so bad. It was called Imaginary Friend and it's by Stephen Chomsky. And, the first third of the book was like, this is really great. This is crazy. This is pretty cool. It's got some really like interesting things it does with the way the text is laid out. And like, there's some, oh, this is great. And then it was like, oh, this is getting kind of typical horror, kind of boring. Like, oh, there's this other world and it's where the dead people go and all the dead things are there and their mouths are stitched shut and their eyes are missing and oh, very spooky. Ooh. And then it turned into like mega Jesus allegory.
Oh, good.
Like ham-fisted Jesus allegory where the kid is Jesus and the devil is there and also God and hell is full of all the people with the stitched mouths. And like, it was a whole fucking, it was like literally just at the last few pages, I was just like skimming, like, fuck, I don't care. It's so bad.
I don't care, but I have to finish it.
Right. I don't, yeah. I it's very rare for me to DNF a book. So
I'm the same way with movies. I will fucking finish that movie.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah. I don't care how bad it is. I will make it to the end.
Yeah. The only things we turn off for movies is if it's transphobic or like really homophobic or racist. And then it's just kind of like, I'm not, nah. But in any event, Kindle Unlimited has been pretty good. You got to hunt and peck to find. But if you're really into, I would say if you're into mysteries, especially like series mystery, you know, where it's like Blackthorn Isle, book four in the Blackthorn Isle series, you know, or whatever, like, you know, that lots of that is on there. Lots of romance books, if that's your jam. Lots of bodice ripper, hot and heavy. Sexy horror is a lot of that, like succubuses and like vampire love and
the type of cover art that we get a lot in judging a book at
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then there's also like
self-published.
Yeah, there's lots of self-help books and like historical fiction and, you know, autobiographies, and there's a lot of nonfiction on there too. So honestly, like if you like to read, that's a really good way to pass some time right now, and then you can like feel like you're accomplishing something with a book more than I feel like I've accomplished more when I read a book than I do when I finish a TV show. I don't know why. It's just maybe because it was just me, right? It was just me and the book and I did battle and I beat it, you know, like that kind of a thing.
Beat the book.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Nick, what else? Yeah. What's some other things? We're just going to keep going around the circle.
All right.
So we all three of us have been playing Animal Crossing New Horizons and we did
just a little. Yeah.
But Molly and I were watching, we just finished the first season, I guess, of this a show called Dispatches from Elsewhere that's on AMC, and it's Jason Segel, and it is really good, really surreal, it's really amazing. Sweet, really sad.
Beautiful.
It's based on like a alternate reality game that was in San Francisco in the early aughts or something.
And there's a documentary about
it. And there's a documentary about it, which inspired this show about these people playing a game that could be a scavenger hunt type thing or a huge conspiracy or something else.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And the final episode is I'm weird. Sure people will be very divided about it.
Yeah, it's polarizing, but we loved it.
Yeah.
So it's just one season, or is there like another season?
We don't know.
Coming
don't
someday.
Know it was originally said it was a limited series, but then they make a kind of self-referential comment about that. Hmm. Like in like the anti-penultimate episode, they say something kind of like how you thought this was a limited series, but we all know it may not be. Or something like it was just, it was really interesting, but it's really good.
Yeah. It's a great show. All the characters are really, deep and interesting and,
Dispatches from Elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's very much worth your time if you can find it, if you have AMC. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it might get ported over to Hulu. I don't know.
I don't know
but yeah,
how that works exactly. Yeah.
All right, Tim, what else? What else are you doing?
Well, I guess, you know, in the non-media pile or file. Yeah. We've been trying to do like a daily, like hour of organizing shit because our house desperately needed it. Mm-hmm. Which has been a good thing. There's this, this psychological feeling like the whole world is kind of paused and feeling like you're getting shit done. I mean, it's kind of funny because like the basement studios where we usually record, which if we have the video up for Patreon supporters, you can see like the back, but you can't see like the main
room.
There's
a lot of stuff on those shelves.
There's a lot of shit on those shelves. And there still is. And there's still going to be, but we've still been just cleaning the room out, which means now it's fucking a mess on the other side of this camera because, you know, we're in the middle of shit.
Yeah.
But we're slowly like clearing out a whole shit ton of books. Actually, what's happening is we're putting a whole lot more geek stuff on the shelf and clearing out a lot of books that we just don't look at anymore.
Like Uncle John's bathroom reader.
Yeah. Like those.
I have been studying the books on the shelf in Tim's basement ever since we started recording this podcast. And there's a bunch of weird ones on there.
There are. And I
you
still
can tell they're stocking stuffers.
I still have my theater books from college that I probably will keep. I probably will keep those, but I have like, from back when I was a new age hippie crystal shit, have all sorts of books from that time period. Mm-hmm. I have a whole bunch of tarot decks. I'm probably going to clear those out. I will probably, because I know I have some friends that are still into the new age crystal bullshit, see if I have any friends that want them rather than just toss them out.
Yeah.
And, but we're doing that. We're cleaning out the garage. We're doing a whole bunch of shit just to get our lives more in order. And that feels psychologically good.
Oh yeah, absolutely. When you are, I mean, like that's the thing about, I personally get, I wouldn't say anxious. I feel better when the house is clean. Mm-hmm. I just feel better about everything. I feel better about life in general. It's easier for me to slip into like the start of depression if everything is a mess, because then I just start to feel like I'm a hopeless mess too, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Something I've been doing is, so we have this thing at FFG Studios, and A&A has one too, but in our building, it's called the free table, and it's just a big table that's in the break room. And if people bring stuff they don't want and they put it on the free table, and then you can take it home, right? It's just like a table full of free stuff, and really random things have been on there to the point where the head of studio at one point had to be like, okay, so no car batteries, you know, and like no garbage, like no half empty cans of paint. No one wants your fucking paint, you know, like just come on. Like
shit people actually want. Bring shit people actually want.
Right. Cause people were using, and also like no one needs your sack of old clothes as a Goodwill, like right around the corner. Like if you have a shirt or something, whatever. But yeah, but I found this box of brand new in the wrapper Crayola chalk. Thick sticks, bright pigments, really cool. And I probably took that home a year ago and it's just been sitting in my cupboard. And so I want to say like a month ago, went out with the chalk and walked the dog around the block, and every few squares of sidewalk wrote like a positive message. Like, we're all in this together and things will be good again and we'll get through this, and sunshine, happy faces, and, you know, stay home, stay together kind of a thing. And that went over well. And then I saw one of our neighbors had done this cool thing where they'd put painter's tape down, and then they'd colored in the different spots the painter's tape left and pulled the tape away, and it looked like stained glass. And it was so cool that I was like, I want to do that. So this weekend I grabbed some tape and my chalk and put my Spotify playlist on and went out and just spent a couple hours in the sun making stained glass squares on our sidewalk. And I eventually did three. And of course now it's rained, and so they're all gone. But that's kind of the beauty of it, is it was temporary, right? I knew it was temporary. And it was really—
But there are pictures. I've seen the pictures.
There are pictures.
Yeah.
And it was very meditative to just be doing that. Just to be— I'm not really a big coloring person. Like, I know a lot of people my age and younger who are really into coloring books, and like, I just— that didn't feel like anything, because I'm not— what am I going to put my drawing up on the fridge? You know, like, it just— but this felt like something. I mean, people were coming by and they were like, that's so cool. Like, oh, this is so pretty. And, you know, even if I'm not out there, I know people are going to walk by and go, oh, wow, neat.
Yeah.
And even if it just gives people that one little moment of like, hey, you know, a little hit of serotonin, right? Just a little bit. That's just all you can do for someone, right?
Yeah.
So been really fun.
Yeah. I know that we had some snow about a week and a half ago, and it got pretty cold, and I'd been going out every day to like go walking. And when it snowed and it got pretty cold, I was like, I don't want to go outside. It's too cold. I'm used to freaking spring now. I can't
take it anymore. Yeah.
But after like 4 days of that, man, I was just in a funk. It was like, I needed to get outside, even if it was cold. I was like, there was a day where I'm like, fuck it, it's cold and I don't care. I'm putting on extra layers, and I'm going and spending 20, 30 minutes walking around the neighborhood, just because I couldn't be just stuck in the house.
That's the nice thing about having a dog is we don't have a yard. So she has to go out on a leash. So we have to walk her. And that's just— so we walk her a
couple miles every day.
Yeah. I walk her a mile and a half every morning. And then between the two of us, we walk her probably another 2 to 3 miles throughout the rest of the day. And that's another thing on my list, actually, that's very short, is playing with your dog. If you have a dog or a cat, it may be very easy to see them as furniture and to not really think about them and to be like, but honestly, like, play with your pets. It is good for you. It's good for them. Even just like 5 minutes with a feather, you know, like, or one of those, or a string, or with a dog, just a few moments of fetch, you know, with your dog, run them through some tricks, get them to sit. Lay down, you know, see if you can teach your dog to shake. If you've got pets for real like that, I think it's really easy to see them as another obligation and let that feel like it's just one more person who depends on you that you can't make happy right now. But like, you can make them so happy. Like, they just want a little attention.
Well, and they can tell things are different, right? Like, whether it means you're home more because you're working from home or furloughed or laid off.
Or you're gone more because you're essential and you're working longer shifts.
The disruption in your patterns and your behavior and your mood, like, animals are going to pick up on that. Mm-hmm. So giving them some love and some attention is good too.
Yeah. All right. What else? What's something else?
You know, I haven't done this yet. We haven't done this yet, but I saw that both the Met and the National Theater are doing recordings of shows, like live stream shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom's watching the Met pretty much every night.
Lots of cool, like, Broadway recorded shows, like Rent and
other big ones.
I guess the National Theater is doing the Cumberbatch and Johnny Lee Miller Frankenstein.
Oh shit.
Where one of them plays Frankenstein and the other one plays the monster.
You didn't tell me it was Johnny Lee Miller.
And then
I'm in.
And then they do the play again and they switch roles. So,
right. Oh my God.
Yeah. And I guess all that's totally free online to watch.
Cool.
Which is neat.
Yeah, it really is.
All right. That's a thumb, something we could do.
Yeah.
What else, Tim? What else are you doing?
One of the things I've been doing, which has helped me a lot, every morning on Facebook, I basically do a good morning, how can I help you today thing. And people ask me to do shit. And if I can do it, I do it. And it just makes me feel like I'm useful.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You know, I had a friend who was like, do you have a ladder that's tall enough for us to do this thing? And I'm like, yeah, actually I do. So I went over and I left the ladder in their driveway. And when they're done, I'll go over and I'll get it back.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, it's shit that you can do without the personal contact, but, mm-hmm. but that, you know, makes you feel like you're in this with other people. You know,
yeah.
Some people are like, hey, do you have rice? And it's like, actually, it turns out we do. Cause right at the beginning of this whole thing, everybody was buying up the rice. And we went to a local Asian market.
And you were one of them.
we actually didn't have any rice. And we just wanted to get like a little fucking bag, right? You know, a 2-pound bag of rice.
Not and that's an gonna Asian keep market.
Us that's gonna keep and we ended up having to get a 25-pound bag of rice. It's like that's all they fucking had.
Asian markets don't fuck around with rice.
No, they don't fuck around
that way. Yeah.
So we got a 25-pound bag of rice and somebody's like, can we get like 2-3 pounds of rice? I'm like, fuck yeah.
That's awesome.
25 pounds is going to last us fucking 5 years. So
yeah, that's great.
So, you know, it's just been that little thing that it's like makes me feel better and makes me feel connected,
mm-hmm.
which right now is shit that I just feel like, you know, is necessary. Even if you don't see people in person.
Sure.
Being able to make those connections is nice.
Agreed. Along that line, like, so not to be all like, you know, oh, we're living through amazing history, which I mean, we are, but I've been journaling. I kind of stopped journaling many years ago, but I've been actually like writing down just when it, not every day, but like when I feel like I should write something and just kind of writing down how I'm feeling, how we're doing, like what's happening in the world, you know, just in that sense of like, I don't like think that people are going to find my journals and be like, oh, the diaries of a 42-year-old woman during the pandemic. How interesting. But it's something that I might want to look back on, assuming that I live through this and look back on and be like, oh yeah. Or like my brother's kids, you know, like they are little, they're not going to remember much, but you know, it might be just kind of nice to have that. Even if in like a year, you know, here's hoping that everything is back to normal in a year and I can go back and be like, oh, it was crazy. Right. Like, oh, yeah. Remember how, cause it's, you're not going to be able to remember. So that's something that's helped me feel like I'm at least chronicling it. And if I write it down, then it doesn't feel as overwhelming or as real. Cause it's almost like I got it out of my head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How about you? Anything else? I know we're going around our lists. I don't mean to, if you don't have anything, don't feel like you're on the spot.
This past weekend was Molly's birthday, and the sister-in-law reached out to me and said, "Hey, how do you think Molly would feel about doing a surprise parade? And do you want to open it up to more than family members?" So, so we did. And I lured her outside with the promise of a yard chair.
It was so cold that morning too. And it was like, let's go sit outside in the cold and drink a beer. I'm like,
the day before it was so sunny and nice. It was supposed to be sunny and nice on Sunday as well. And it really wasn't.
It was eventually. It just wasn't at 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
But we sat outside and we had our drinks and we had peaches on a long lead so she could run around a little bit. And then
people showed up.
A whole bunch of our friends and family.
It was awesome.
Drove by in a line led by Molly's brother Kevin pulling a wagon with the twin nieces and the son Jack in a Hulk costume with a cape, like with sparklers.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. It was really great.
Friend of ours, friend of the show, Jeremy Stomberg, and his wife. Threw some homemade baked goods and a a threatening note tied to a rock at us.
It said, "Have a happy birthday or the goat gets it."
Oh,
I that's know.
Rough. That's rough. Yeah.
So it was fun. It was fun. We got to see everyone, a bunch of faces, and we got to see.
No one got out of the car. Right. Everyone yeah. just drove by everyone and waved.
Kept their distance. Yep. And
we I was got super to, bummed. I could not be there. I was very yeah. bummed. I
it was
just,
super fun.
I had to be back home by 11, and I didn't think I could make it.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of normalcy, right? We got to celebrate a birthday. Mm. We got to see some family.
It was a good birthday. I can't lie. Honestly, like I was very sad leading up to the birthday, like feeling a little, because this was like, I turned 42. So it's, you know, it's yeah. a big geek year.
It's
so
a
I
geek
was like,
year, yeah.
I never have parties. I was actually going to like have a party and do a thing with people and like kind of have a whole deal. And then it was very clear. Pretty early on that was not going to happen at all. So, but it was really great. That's good.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
If
yeah,
you know anybody in your life who's got a birthday right now, who really likes their birthday, like I love my birthday. If you know someone who to whom their birthday is kind of a big deal, do something like that. If you can, it's pretty great. It's worth annoying your neighbors.
Our neighbors got in on it. They were, yeah, they did. Were for even like a couple yeah. days after they've been yeah. like,
happy birthday. I hope you had a good birthday. Like, yeah. That's cool. Cute.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I guess tying into that there, cause I couldn't make it to that and I was bummed about that. But, one thing that I've been doing, is online, a lot of online meetings that have been really nice. It's like my brother and his wife live in San Francisco and we hardly ever see them. And yet we've had like three family meetings with us in our house, that's my mom awesome. In her house, and David and Jane in their house. And we spend 2 or 3 hours just talking, and they get like a box from a local farm every week. And they'll give us a tour of all the vegetables that are in their that's farm awesome. Box. And it's, I'm like, part of me is like, I mean, this all sucks. And yet how lucky we are that it's happening now,
mm-hmm.
that there's shit like we can record this podcast, right? And we can all look at each other's faces, even mm-hmm. though we're across town from one another, even though we could theoretically be across the country from one another and still make it happen.
Without the technology though, the show would have stopped.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
For who knows how long.
Yeah. And
I mean, really.
So on Sundays I host a group conversation with a bunch of theater people. And it's like weekly, it's a brunch for the Fearless Comedy Theater group. And, I mean, it's really therapeutic for everybody to be able to have those conversations. We talk about everything. There's inevitably an Animal Crossing,
mm-hmm.
conversation that drops in there at some point. If somebody asks somebody else, how do you make some shit happen? Cause it's all Animal Crossing all the time.
You know,
24/7, 365. Yes. And so that's been, but I've been finding a lot of ways to use that online, the online conversation tools to stay connected. It's been really important for the Dregs, since we lost a band member, literally like the day before everything went.
It was the day before. It was the day before the shutdown. It was the, yeah. Yeah.
And we lost a band member. She had a bad heart and it got.
She died from non-COVID reasons.
Yeah. It wasn't COVID. It was just she died. And being able to get together, which we weren't going to be able to get together at all. And you can't really rehearse online because there's a lag.
The lag is, yeah.
But at least like every week to 2 weeks we get back together, and it's been really important for the five of us that are left to be able to stay connected in a time when we're all still grieving over this, but we haven't really, I mean, we don't know when there's going to be a memorial.
We haven't felt it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
everything is so big that it feels like it sucks to say, but everything is so big that it feels like grieving for her is small
mm-hmm.
compared to the world. And so you almost feel like you don't get to because there's so much worse going on, but like there isn't anything worse going on because that was like your longest time, you know, bandmate and friend. It just, it's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, this band member was, I mean, one of my oldest friends. I've known her since junior high school, which is like, but anyway,
crazy.
You know, yeah. And that sucks. But the thing is that the thing that's been helping me through this has been
meetings.
The opportunity
yeah.
to have the FaceTime and the conversation time with people that you thought you weren't going to see, but you can. So
you heard it here first, everybody. Read a book, go outside, take a walk, draw with chalk. You know, play a game, maybe Final Fantasy VII, maybe Animal Crossing, maybe
watch
just
a movie.
Some random phone waster, right? Watch a movie. Go through your DVDs. Find a movie you haven't seen in a long time. Throw it in. I bet you have a DVD still in shrink wrap.
We had a lot.
Yep, you probably do. Go watch that one.
Go to the Mechanical Keyboard subreddit and pick a project and buy a super cheap entry level keyboard project and spend the $60 or $70 and fucking solder together a computer keyboard.
Clean off that shelf you've been looking at for 10 years and going, fuck.
And honestly, if any of that seems overwhelming and seems like too much, just get up.
Yeah.
Just get up today.
You don't owe anyone.
Nope. You do not have
a productive use of your time.
You don't have to come out of this with a new hobby or skill. You don't have to come out of this with anything better than it was other than you being alive and breathing. That's the goal.
My mom found a quarantine bingo card and like the free space is just stayed alive.
Yeah, for real.
You know, and everything on there is self-help stuff. And none of it's hard. So it's easy to get a bingo.
Yeah.
And there's some on there that is more challenging, but it really is that important thing of sometimes you got to say, I'm not going to do this. We were talking a little bit before we started about, you know, I've had to make some tough calls about convergence because I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen. And there's not, we don't know for sure yet.
It's officially still happening.
But I'm pretty sure it's not.
Yeah,
and it's not really hard to put in hours worth of work on a weekly basis when you're like, this probably isn't going to go anywhere.
Right.
And I'm just wasting my time. And sometimes, and I finally was like, you know what? This is mentally not helping me at all.
Yeah.
And I just said, you know what? Until I know for sure whether this convention's happening or not, I can't put in this kind of time. I'll put five or six times the amount of time later.
What was that Animal Crossing meme that we were just talking about on the dog walk earlier, Molly? About it was something like, This game gives me a reason to look forward to waking up in the morning every day, and that's kind of a bargain for
that's
60
worth
bucks.
$60. Yeah.
Someone was like, literally, like the reason I have to look forward to going to bed and waking up is that tomorrow this bridge I built will be there, and I can work on this project, or tomorrow my KK slider is going to be there for a concert or whatever. It was just like, hey, if that's what you got to look forward to, that's awesome.
Yeah,
it's awesome to have.
Maybe
something.
It's your weekday brunch, online, or maybe it's a dance party you're hosting, or maybe it's just you're looking forward to taking a very long hot bath with a beer tonight. something like that. All right, but it's time for five questions.
Five questions,
and we have five questions from friend of the show, Bob Alberti.
Hello, Bob.
Hey.
That's right, Bob. Gave us five questions, no preamble, no closing, all business, no
appreciate
party.
It.
Just
right.
Questions.
Question one, what's your earliest formative memory? Something from your past that still means something to you? For me, it is when I broke my wrist for the first time. My brother and I were with our biological father. We were selling our childhood home in Woodbury, and there were some people coming over to see the house, and Wayne had to take care of us. So we were there at the house with Wayne. My mom might've been there, but I don't remember if she was there or not, but Wayne was like, go play. And so we went out in the backyard to play, and we had this treehouse that had bars instead of walls. It was basically just like a plank floor and a railing with bars around it, like a little cage, like a little baby playpen up in the trees. But we used to play this game called Jailer, where Kevin would be the jailer and he'd pretend he was asleep. And I would have to sneak out through the bars because I could fit. So I'd sneak out through the bars and then I would shimmy down the tree. And if I could get away before he woke up, right? I always did. That was the game. So I sneak out through the bars and I go to shimmy down the tree and my foot slips and I whip down and I'm hanging by my right arm by the, with the bars. I'm just dangling by my arm like this. And I'm screaming because my shoulder's starting to hurt. And I'm screaming at my brother to help push my arm out, push my arm out. So he pushes my elbow and sure enough, my whole arm pops free. I fall to the ground, land on my hands and knees and I feel my wrist break. And I start screaming and I'm flapping my, I just remember flapping my hand like this, like screaming and holding it out in front of me and flapping it. Like I couldn't understand what was happening. And Kevin starts screaming and Wayne comes out and he's like, what the Christ's sake is going on? And my arm broke my arm. I think it's so bad. But I just remember that, like, that was my first real big injury where like everything went from fine. And I've done this 100 times to completely fucked in like 2 seconds. And it was such a like, that really imprinted on me as a kid of like how easy it is to just fuck everything up so fast. So that is my answer. Who's all right. Next?
I'm just going in a row. So I figure Nick's next.
The first movie I can remember seeing in the theaters is the first Gremlins movie. And I think potentially at my insistence, we sat in the front row. I would have been maybe 5 or 6, right? Maybe a little young for Gremlins, maybe a little young for Gremlins in the front row, which can be kind of a sensory overload. So I don't remember being scared or having a bad time. I like the movie. I have fond memories of the movie and seeing it. But for about the next 18 years of my life, I had reoccurring nightmares about there's a scene where they go into the small town bar and it's been taken over by the Gremlins. And,
oh, yeah.
One of the things they show is a table full of Gremlins playing like poker against each other, and Stripe has a gun and all that. So the reoccurring nightmare that I got from Gremlins was playing games of chance at a table against Gremlins and continually losing at no fault of my own. And the stakes were always the lives of my family members.
Oh, wow.
As I would helplessly lose hand after hand of poker, I would watch Spike the Gremlin hold up his little gun and shoot someone in my family.
That's so bad.
And it was just the same dream for about 17 or 18 years.
You're fine.
I got bored of the dream. Like, it wasn't traumatic anymore. Eventually, it was just like, oh, I had the fucking gremlin dream again. That sucks.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's great. All right, Tim.
You know, I think I've talked about this before because we had an episode, I think, where we talked about what our fears.
Fish.
And I'm afraid of fish. And my earliest memory is the memory of catching the fish that I am absolutely positive is the reason I'm afraid of fish, or the formative memory. And I must have been 5 or 6.
Okay.
And I caught a 2-pound northern pike, which are evil looking.
Big.
They're evil looking motherfuckers and they just look angry. I accidentally caught this fish. You can go back and find our fear episode and it's a long story. So I'm not going to try and completely recap it, but I accidentally caught a fish and it freaked the shit out of me.
Cause like you touched it and it was very like big and muscly and.
Well, I caught it. And I was like trying to reel it in and I thought it was like seaweed or something. And it started like jumping out of the water and it freaked me out. Freaked me out. I mean, I dropped the pole in the water and I ran into the house crying. But we got the pole back and they got the fish out of the water. And so there's this picture of me holding it and I'm holding it on a stringer as far from my body as I can possibly hold it. And there's no smile. I'm just horrified by the concept of this fish being anywhere near me. And
Tim, gird your loins while we show our viewers northern pike's mouth.
I don't know if the camera will.
Yeah, look at that. I mean, Jesus Christ.
That's a freshwater fish that you can pull out of a lake.
Like a child can just find.
It looks like someone like took an alligator mouth and put it on a fish.
Yeah. I was just casting. I had no bait. I was just casting a hook into the water because I had fun casting it under the water and then reeling it back in. That's all I was fucking doing. Yep, didn't want to catch shit.
A Snoopy fishing pole.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my answer. So we should
play anyway. Question 2. What did you have for lunch yesterday?
Mm. Mm.
I had nothing. I didn't eat lunch yesterday. I didn't feel very good.
Okay.
I didn't have lunch either. I just kind of snacked a little throughout the day.
Yeah. Tim, what'd you have for lunch yesterday?
I had leftover stir fry. When I make a stir fry, it usually makes about 4 servings of leftovers. And you don't
feed your family because fuck them.
Well, the kids won't eat it. They're not interested. Pat will eat it, but
it's not a cheese pizza, Tim. I mean,
yeah, I know exactly. Pat won't eat it. She won't eat the leftovers. She doesn't like the leftovers. She likes it when it's fresh. So the leftovers are all mine. So yesterday was the last serving.
All right. Question 3, what is a memory that you have revisited so often that you're not sure whether it is accurate or a memory of a memory?
I hit a car.
You hit a car?
I hit a car when I was a kid. I didn't get hit by a car. I ran out into the street and struck a car running away from some kids that were hassling me when I was like 6 or 7.
Like you ran into a car.
I ran into a car.
With your physical body.
That was driving at speed during, small town streets.
Did you hit the doors or?
I hit the mirror and window. But the woman who was driving the car was so traumatized by the event and got out so quickly to make sure I was okay that she left her car in drive and it struck a pole and downed a pole.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And I'm pretty sure all the memories I have of this are from people who weren't even there, like my mom retelling the story of what had happened.
Sure.
I'm not sure I was super aware of what happened at the time because it happened so quickly and it was so traumatic. I just remember someone kicking at me and me dodging out of the way into the street.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm pretty sure all the details I have of that in my memory are completely fabricated by my brain.
That's a good
one. I remember it, I guess.
Yeah. I have memories from running the marathon, the third marathon I did, which was the Vegas marathon, where I broke my foot on mile 8, and I didn't know anybody really, so I didn't like have like people along the way or anything, because it was like out into the desert and then back from the desert, right? So people were just waiting for me at the end. But I have some memories. I remember at the halfway point there was an Elvis impersonator and one showgirl. One lone, mostly naked showgirl. And it was like 45 degrees and it was so windy. And I just remember, her smoking a cigarette and looking miserable. But I don't know for sure if she was smoking a cigarette. I could not tell you if that was accurate. I just remember that. I remember like seeing it and being like, Jesus, she's sad. Like she just looked so. So I don't know if my brain added the cigarette to make it extra sad, or like if it was sad enough,
happened at all because you had like delirious marathon.
Or if it happened at all, it's not like I can look it up and be like, was there an Elvis impersonator and a single showgirl at the halfway point in the Vegas marathon in 2005? Like no one can tell me that. I was like, were you there? I'd be like, well, kind of.
I mean, physically.
The story that comes to mind for me is I remember a time when, for a short while, my parents and my brother and I lived in like a commune, like a hippy dippy, like 5 families in one household kind of commune thing. And we had a bunk bed and I remember waking up on the floor. I was on the top bunk and I remember waking up on the floor with like all the adults coming running into the room. Like, what the fuck was that sound? Holy shit. Tim's on the floor. And I'm like 4 or 5 years old. And I remember that I actually think I spent a night in the hospital. It's the only time I think I've ever, until I had a kidney stone, like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
The only time I ever spent an overnight in the hospital. I didn't break anything.
Yeah.
But maybe it was, they were checking. They were
back looking. Then they used to put you in the hospital and keep you overnight all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Like it was all the time. Like there wasn't, it was very common.
But I'm just
like, get him out of here quick before he gets MRSA.
Yeah. But I'm not sure if I feel like maybe those two experiences were different experiences.
Yeah.
Like the night in the hospital wasn't from the falling out of the bunk bed. I'm pretty sure the falling out of the bunk bed thing is right. And I've never talked to my mom about it and said, Mom, is this a real memory? But I'm not sure. So
That's cat butt my face. Sorry.
Cat butt. Anybody right. watching this on Patreon? Well, ooh,
Patreons are really getting the premier cat butt experience.
Cat butt experience.
Question four. What is your happiest memory? I will go first because I mine is fairly recent. When Peaches was like a little puppy, she's probably like 13 or 14 weeks old. It was cold, very cold overnight. And I woke up to take her out and it was like her third going out for the night. So it was like time to go back to bed. And instead of putting in her kennel, I took her in the bed with us and I just put her in bed between us. And she just settled down and she was just a little puppy and she went right to sleep and she was just kind of sleeping on my chest. And like, I woke up with this little snoozy puppy and Nick right next to me and Gatsby and Triscuit were both sleeping in between my ankles. And it was just like, it was so cold outside and we were all this like happy little island in the bed. And like, I just remember thinking it just felt so perfect. And it was such a, like, everyone was asleep but me, you know, and I could just kind of wake up and like listen to everybody's little snoozes and breathings and like stroke the cat and pet the dog. And like, she kind of woke up and then Nick kind of woke up and was like, did she sleep in here with us? And it was just such a good, cozy, like, honestly, I think that's probably one of my happiest memories. But then again, I had ECT. So a lot of my very happy memories might be like a little wobbly, but I remember that being like this moment of like, I had no anxiety or worries or anything. And everyone was where they needed to be and everyone was safe. And it just felt great.
Hmm. Nick. It's hard to pick one.
I know, right? It is.
Yeah.
Let's just say one of your happiest memories. Sure. We don't need to make it your happiest memory, full stop.
there was like, this last trip we had to Disney World, we had like a perfect day.
Oh yeah, we did.
Where like the weather was great and we were feeling good and
hitting all the fast passes and the lines were short.
Yeah, we got on like all the rides we wanted to get on. We got into see a bunch of more Star Wars stuff.
Yep.
And like it was just like
good booze.
Yeah, it was just like everything went for us. It didn't feel like we were fighting against the stream in any way. And we like called it a day early and just like got some food and got some ice cream and like went for a walk and like took it easy.
Pass out asleep. Yeah, like it was great.
It was like top to bottom. It was just a really good day.
Yeah.
I mean, There are so many things that I could pick from, but I guess one of my happiest memories, one of the happiest days was family went to Utah a few years back to go on a national park tour. Mm-hmm. And we had not planned on going to Mesa Verde, which is in Colorado, and was kind of on the route, but it was a little off. And one day we decided to go there. It's ancient Puebloan ruins built into cliff sides. And it really was like something that it was me and mom and the kids. Pat actually joined us later in the trip. But it was something I'd always wanted to see. And I really felt like this was a me day. This is a day that I'm going to see something that I want to see. And mom's pretty much down for anything. But the thing that was really cool was the kids were super into it. They really, really thought it was interesting. And I thought they were going to be like, yeah, whatever, dad.
Like they weren't being like teenage shits. They were like being like the little kids you remember from days of yore.
This is super, super interesting. Yeah. And just like we did that. And then it was like it was like another 8 hours driving, right, to get to the next place we were going. But, you know, that whole day we were just like super jazzed about having made that decision that had not been part of our plan for the trip at all. But it really was a moment where we all got something that we really appreciated and could talk about for the rest of the day. So that was a great day. That was a happy day.
That's awesome. All right, and finally, question five, how would you like to be remembered even while still alive? For example, Nick, wasn't he that trading guy out at Renaissance Festival or something like that? Man. I would like to be remembered as being, I guess, similar to Tim's mom, being up for anything. For real, though, I want to be remembered as somebody who was always willing to try. and you know, whether it was, you know, like a new food or going somewhere or, you know, whatever, that I was up to try it out, you know, and or at least if I had a negative opinion, it's because I'd experienced it, not because I formed a negative opinion based on other people's opinions, if that makes sense. I just have always wanted to try. I'll try anything. Got me into a little trouble in my 20s, but
I think for me, like, quality is more than anything specific as far as like actions or deeds, mm-hmm. or whatever. I hope I am remembered or thought of as funny and clever. I think that's probably like the Slytherin in me is like, I want people to think I'm funny and I want people to think that I'm clever.
See,
or intelligent, whichever.
I know people will think I'm funny. I'm more worried about the other one.
I guess I just want, because I identify more as a writer than anything else, I guess there's just that desire to have something I've written make a difference to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Have them remember that thing. And be like, I totally really fucking enjoyed that thing that you wrote. And that's kind of what, I mean, I don't know. I don't need that to happen, but I hope it happens.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Bob. That was 5 questions from Bob Alberti. And that could be your name. I could be reading 5 questions from your name right now. If you send your 5 questions to 5questions@geeks.god.com. No question too small, no question too big. Hit us up. You don't need to have a theme. Bob had a memories theme going on, but for real, any 5 disjointed rando questions you want to send us, we are happy to answer them. If you're a Patreon supporter, thank you so much. Patreon supporters got to listen to this episode early, and if we get the video up, they got to watch us while we recorded. Yeah. On top of that, Patreon supporters at certain levels will get other things like stickers and buttons. So if you're interested in joining us, please visit us on patreon.com. We are Geeks Without God there. And if you are a Patreon supporter and you send in 5 questions, put Patreon supporter in the subject line and I will know to bump you to the top of the queue. Other than that, we are, as always, here for you. If you have any questions, comments, or anything you want to add, tell us what you're doing during this coronavirus outbreak isolation time. How are you getting through? We'd love to hear from you all. So it's been really great and we're going to get through this together. So stay strong. Stay entertained and
send us 10 questions. 5 questions.
That's right. 5
questions.
You know what? Fuck it. Send us 10. We'll just do 2 episodes.
What the hell else are we going to do? Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. COVID-19. Hey, COVID-19. Yep. It works.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter @GeeksWithoutGod. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I held a smile until I saw the little thing blink off.